It's wonderful to see you. It's actually really turned into a very pleasant evening, hasn't it? It's really kind of a beautiful night. I'm not sure what you have planned for the rest of your night tonight. I know that my family, we will gather around our couches and we will sit down and there's a grazing board I know that's being prepared. Not my wife, Narelle, she just got home from work. And we will sit down and watch carols by candlelight together. It's a thing that we do. I suspect that many of you do something similar. Is that right? Okay. But in the midst of the busyness, I was actually speaking to a young lady before, and she was telling me that her kids were coming with someone else, but she had just had to nick in and get a last-minute gift. And I thought, oh, gee, the last-minute shop run. Is there something that exemplifies the kind of the hecticness of Christmas time? I'm going to share a brief talk tonight, but I actually just want to invite you for maybe a minute. The candles are over there. Cam mentioned before what they stand for. Advent is about the coming of Jesus for hope, peace, joy, and love. And I just want to ask you just to direct your eyes to the candles. Just look and just consider those things. Hope, joy, peace, love. I want to give a shout out to our music team tonight. I enjoyed very much the singing together of the carols that we did. For those of you who don't know, our music team was here at 3:30 this afternoon. They give away time to prepare. Thank you for them. Music is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Music is fantastic. It lifts our spirit. It brings us together. I've got to say, I've been like a lot of Australians watching some of the cricket, and I am both simultaneously annoyed but also envious at the singing of the Barmy Army. They sing continually, always when they're losing, but it brings them together in such a way. I admire the incredible artists and musicians who compose music and the lyrics, such creativity and insight. When you listen to music, do you ever get lines that get stuck in your head? You know what I mean? And lines which continue to speak, they're more powerful than a 10,000-word essay. Maybe you remember such lines from music like this, and this will maybe reflect my age. You might know some of these songs. Hello, darkness, my old friend. What a line. How many roads must a man walk down before you call him a man? Or what about they're sharing a drink they call loneliness, but it's better than drinking alone. That's some great lines that people have. This past year, I have to confess, and I'm not sure. When I do this confession, please don't think worse of me, okay? That I have listened, and my excuse is I've listened with my daughters to the Taylor Swift concert and stuff. See, look what happened. See? There's someone actually here in the audience, I'm not going to say who it is, Ryan Brooke, who's wagging a finger of reprimand at myself. She has this line in a breakup song, "So casually cruel in the name of being honest." That's a great line. Whether her music is great or not doesn't matter, but that is a great line. What about carols? Do you love singing carols? I feel like I've got a mixed relationship with carols. When I was a teenager, I worked at the House of Tajay, and for 2 months before Christmas, the carols are relentless, non-stop. And nowadays, though, I find myself enjoying some of them, but I can't really get into all of them. I can't get into the Aussie jingle bells, you know, like Santa in the back of a ute. I can't get into it. But some carols I love. And this year, we've been thinking about this line from that wonderful carol, O Holy Night. You know the song, I suspect, but if you don't worry. We're going to sing it soon. This powerful voice reaching that crescendo, you know, I'm not going to sing it. Fall on your knees, you know, O night, O holy night. But the first verse sets the scene for the crescendo. Says this, it says, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. What a line. What a truth. It's something which resonates as much as it did 2,000 years ago with us today, doesn't it? Because for so many of us in our world today, we have this deep sense that things are broken. And with that comes this profound weariness. That feeling isn't imagined or exaggerated. We can kind of see it. We can feel it. We can hear it. You know the things that are a part of it, the pace of life, the pressures of society, the constant noise that surrounds us. They're part of the weariness. It creates this sense of exhaustion that just kind of almost like it sits underneath the layer of life and impacts us in all that we do. You know, the pace of life is unrelenting, isn't it? Technology allows us to be constantly connected. But constantly connected means constant comparison, constant pressure, constant noise. We actually never turn off, do we? Notifications, demands, emails, texts, messages. We're overstimulated and underrested. Our bodies and souls weren't simply meant for this type of non-stop life, were they? We see the ramifications of it. Mental health challenges are rising everywhere. The biggest issues in our community, in our nation, are around fear and distrust. These silent pressures that drive us. Uncertainty about finances, the heaviness of caring for loved ones, fear of the future and all that it holds. And we feel stretched thin. And because we feel stretched thin, less and less people have got capacity to care for others. And so we feel it even more. And yet on the other hand, society tells us that what? We should be more productive, more successful, more attractive, more financially secure. And in reality, we are what? We're tired. We're flawed. We're fragile. In fact, what we are is we're human. The gap between kind of who we think we should be, you know, like our Instagram image and the reality just seems to widen all the time. A weary world rejoices. Look around. What do we see in our world? Broken systems. Broken political systems, broken economic systems, broken social systems, global, environmental. You name it, it's broken. And when we feel that fragility, we feel fragile. When our institutions disappoint us, it erodes that trust, doesn't it? I didn't want to speak about this tonight, but Bondi of December 25 will mark our hearts in a similar fashion to 9/11. We live in this age where we witness tragedy in real time. Creates that sense of helplessness, doesn't it? A weary world rejoices. We feel that burden, don't we? The disappointment that the substitutes that our world offers. You know what they are, achievement, busyness, success, entertainment. Those things never quite satisfy. So it's understandable, isn't it, why we feel so weary? Why we sense the world is broken? I want to say to you tonight that acknowledging that weariness is not defeat. It's honesty. It's honesty where hope can begin. When we recognize our limits in life, we become open to the things of God. When we admit that we're exhausted, we become open to true rest. The world may be broken, but God has not abandoned it. And in that weariness, we can find hope. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. It's a beautiful line. It's also an honest line, isn't it? It doesn't say a thrill of hope, the joyful world sings. It doesn't say a thrill of hope, the comfortable world celebrates. No, it's the weary world rejoices. It makes it profoundly relevant to today. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. I associate thrills with roller coasters. What do you associate thrills with? Thrills to me are something that move our hearts. Christmas hope is not the removal of weariness. It's the arrival of something new in the midst of that weariness. When the angels appear to the shepherds, they say, "Don't be afraid in the midst of fear. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. This is the hope that will bring you great joy to all people." The good news doesn't remove fear instantly. It speaks into the fear. You see, hope doesn't wait for fear to disappear. It interrupts it. And that hope has a name. The thrill is not just an idea. It's a person, isn't it? They will call him Emmanuel. It means God with us. See, that's the hope of Christmas. God doesn't try to fix things from a distance. He doesn't shout encouragement from the heavens, "Hey, good job, you over there." He doesn't offer advice from another country. God enters our weariness. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Rejoicing doesn't mean pretending that we're not tired. It means recognizing that weariness is not the final word. It's not the victor. And Jesus himself is the one who speaks to the weary. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." He doesn't say to you and me, he doesn't say, "Fix yourself first." No. He doesn't say, "Try harder." He doesn't say, "Be stronger." He doesn't say, "Stop feeling tired." He says, "Come." He says, "Come." Because rest is not something that we manufacture, it's something we receive. Something that he gives. See, Christmas doesn't deny our weariness. It's not divorced from reality. Doesn't gloss over pain or pretend that things are better than they are. Christmas enters our world and brings hope into our world. It's not the absence of sorrow, it's the presence of hope within it. Think about when hope enters a weary heart. Cynicism begins to soften. When hope enters a weary heart, faith begins to reawaken. Love becomes possible again. Hope reminds us that the story is not finished. You see, that's the life of Jesus. The babe in a manger grows into the man who's the one who heals the broken, who welcomes the outcast, the one who carries the cross, the one who rises from the grave. You know, this Christmas you may feel tired. You may feel uncertain, stretched thin, weary. The message of Christmas is not that you must feel happy. The message of Christmas is that hope comes looking for you. A thrill of hope. Not because life is easy, but because God is near. A weary world rejoices. Not because pain has vanished, but because it no longer walks alone. So I want to invite you tonight to enter into Christmas and bring your weariness. Come with your questions. Come with your longing. And meet the hope that is the message of Christmas. I'd like to briefly pray, and then we're going to sing that great song as we finish up our time here tonight. God, I want to thank you for the joy of Christmas. The reality of it, not a fake joy, not something that pretends that things are good and well, but a joy and a hope that speaks into our weariness. I thank you that Jesus was the one who says, "Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest." Come to me. Amen. Hey, I got to say, that was fantastic, wasn't it? I don't know, if your heart's not stirred by that, then you might need to get some of our defibrillator out in the kitchen afterwards. I trust, and my prayer is for each of us, that over this Christmas period, Not that we don't have a wonderful time. I really trust you have a fantastic time tonight, tomorrow, that you rest and you recover from work and spend time with your loved ones. I hope that that's really a part of it. But my prayer is also that our hearts are stirred by the thrill of hope. That we're reminded of candles that we see that speak of who Jesus is. That in the midst of our weariness, that we realize hope interrupts and comes to us in Jesus. Amen.